sure? Toss me a life jacket. Try that again. One more time. What about my shades?
1 in 3 fatalities on our waterways is caused by impaired boating. Make the smart choice. Don't boat impaired.
We really should stay on the dock.
A message from Mad Canada.
Welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and this is Charlotte. I am here today to talk to you after last week, because last week was a monologue, and I feel very excited to come back and having the conversation with our amazing guest. And today, our guest is the station manager, Magnus. To be honest, I've never had like a long conversation with Magnus. I feel like he is a great leader here in the station to be able to manage the whole station with volunteers, with the full-time and half-time staffs. I feel a little nervous, but I think it should be fine. So Magnus, could you start with how did you get here and ended up being this station for how long have you been here, actually?
Well, it's a pretty long story, but I won't go into all the details. But, I mean, I first started, just like you are, as a volunteer who wanted to do a radio show. I was really into music, you know, local music and alternative music. And the radio station was the place to be because, of course, this was before we had streaming services and stuff like that. So if you wanted access to music, you had to go somewhere where they had the physical copies, CDs or LPs or whatever, right?
Right.
And the radio station had that, loads and loads of music. Mm-hmm. So myself and many other folks who are really into music, the radio station was the place to be. And of course, then doing a radio show was the thing to do. And so that's where I got started.
Right.
And I just found the community at the radio station. And this goes way back. I was attending UVic as a student at the time, and was at the station at UVic, and it was just the people there and the community there, and it was so much fun. It was like, this is where I belong.
How many years was that?
That's a long time ago. It's about 30 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so how do you know the history of this station? Like, how long this station have been existed?
This station here,
right,
was started by a group of students in 1965, 1966.
Oh.
The very first year the university started.
Oh.
There are some real keen students, and they started the radio station. It was just like a radio club. They didn't have the whole radio station broadcasting at the time. But they got a space from the university and some equipment, and then they got it sort of arranged so they could play through speakers and stuff on campus. And one of the fellows who's the leader of that group that very first year, we're still in touch with him. He went on to a career in radio, and then he ended up at BCIT, which is one of the colleges around here, and they have a radio broadcasting program. He was in charge of that for a number of years. He's, of course, retired now. And his name is Brian Antonsen. We've had him by the station for different events and done interviews with him. So it goes all the way back to then. And then he was on campus for a number of years. And in the mid-70s, there was the prospect of stations like that at universities actually being able to get licenses.
Right.
And so at that time, the organization, the club, sort of legally formed itself as a nonprofit society here in BC, which is one of the things that was going to need to happen if you're going to get a license. So that was in 1974. Mm. But then from there, it was a long trip to get the actual FM license. The station at UBC, CITR, they got theirs in about 84, 85. But it took longer here at SFU, partly because there wasn't quite enough funding to have any permanent staff, which I think was limiting in terms of appealing to the government to get a license. So, and then around 1990, they got a license to, it's a funny technology called carrier current. And basically you take a AM radio transmitter.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that is, but
well, very quickly, you know, for standard radio broadcasting, as we've known it for the last, 100 years, I guess now, there's AM and FM. We broadcast an FM now. One of the advantages of FM is that you can broadcast a stereo signal. Mm-hmm. AM only broadcast a mono signal. So I think these days, a lot of AM stations, because radio is very music-oriented in general, because they don't have the same audio quality as FM stations, have disappeared. But you take this, what the station did is, like I said, it's called carrier current. And what you do is you plug the transmitter, a little transmitter, into the electrical system of a building.
Okay.
And then to listen to that radio, you take your radio and you plug it into the wall socket, and the radio signal gets transmitted through the electrical system, gets picked up by your radio plugged into the wall, and will play your radio. Obviously, it's very limited because it's only available in the buildings that have that.
Right.
But it did allow the radio station at the time to broadcast to all the residences here on campus.
Mm.
And then later on, we another sort of funny technology called cable FM.
Okay.
Almost a little similar idea,
right?
But a little more expansive in that you could take your radio signal, and you didn't have an actual over-the-air radio broadcast that you could listen to in your car,
mm-hmm.
but you would take your signal and provide it to the local TV cable company, and the entire back in the day, of course, TV broadcast over the air too, right?
Right.
Nowadays, almost everybody gets everybody got their TV through cable. And now, of course, we all get it through streaming mostly. But TV broadcast over the air, you could stick an antenna on top of your house and pick up your mm-hmm. local TV stations. So the entire FM radio band fits between channel 6 and 7 on the TV band. So your cable company, because it was carrying all those channels, also sort of inherently had the ability to carry radio transmission. So you'd provide your radio signal to the cable company, then you'd take your stereo at home, and you'd have to get a little adapter to connect it to the wall socket. And then you plugged your stereo or your radio into your cable system, just like you were getting for your TV, and
right.
you could pick up the radio again. So we could be picked up all around Greater Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
But only with that sort of setup where like a stereo or a radio that was connected to the cable,
right.
TV cable network. So again, you couldn't broadcast over the air. You couldn't pick it up in cars and at the beach or wherever else you might want to listen to the radio.
I see, yeah.
But, you know, it got the signal out there, got a little broader than it was before. So, and then in a number... We applied a few times to the CRTC. They're the Canadian government body that regulates broadcasting, and you have to get a license from them to be a broadcaster. We did a couple of applications. The first one was successful, and then we did another one, and that was finally successful. That was 2002, so a little over, 24 years ago?
Right.
And we finally got approved for frequency, and then it took some time to order equipment and get it installed. And in February 2003, mm-hmm. we turned on the transmitter and started broadcasting to the Greater Vancouver region.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, because now, as like I just talked to you earlier about the app that yep. we can download it on the App Store or whatever Android system used. And that is like the modern way. Mm-hmm. Or even we're just like, I'm live streaming to Chinese yep. audiences, right? And I think this is the very modern way. But from what you described, it seems like you've been to this all revolutionary.
I skipped over the part where in 1998.
Okay.
1998. So that was about 28 years ago. We started live streaming the radio broadcast over the internet with a live MP3 stream.
Okay. You're
so,
right.
You know, that was even before we started FM. So that was another thing that, again, you're getting more ways to get to people. And that was good. And then again, like in 2003, we got the FM broadcast. And that was actually a big jump because, you know, in the 90s, not that many people were streaming, listening to live radio streams on the internet. It was still pretty small.
Okay. But they were listening through the car radio or the
radio? Well, through any radio. I mean, it's a little less these days, but everybody would have had a radio in their house, right?
Back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And particularly before streaming, and particularly before, services like Spotify or Apple Music
right.
or others became a way you could just sort of, you know, listen to music. If you wanted to hear new music mm-hmm. and you didn't own the CD or the record already,
right.
radio is how you were going to find out about it.
It reminds me when I was little and there were people who were like kind of ordering whatever music videos or mm-hmm. movie episodes
yep.
From the TV. I think that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, the same thing. You know, so nowadays with music streaming
mm-hmm.
Through any of those services, if like you tell me, oh, I heard about this really cool artist.
Right.
I go, oh, well, that's cool. Tick, 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 tick.
Mm.
There they are. I can listen to them right away.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, you know, if you could tell me about this really great artist and if you had the record, oh, we could go to your place and let's listen to the record.
Yeah.
If you didn't have the record, then it's like, oh, okay, well, now what do we do? Maybe we can call up the campus radio station like us and maybe they have it and we'll put a request in and some radio host will play it.
Oh.
Or you have to go to the record store and buy it.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, access to music wasn't anywhere like it is today where it's just, oh, that's cool. I'm listening to it. I can check it out.
Uh-huh.
I like it, you know.
Oh, yeah, I get it because you have to physically have the record
mm-hmm.
and then put it and play it, and it costs a lot more money.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, every album, would cost. Now a vinyl record costs about $50, but back then it was maybe from $12 to $20 for somebody's album. So that's a fair bit of money. You know, you're not going to be buying multiple albums every week if you're a student or something.
Right.
So your access to music is a lot more challenging, and it depended a lot more on your connections through your friends and other people who are into music.
Right.
Because you might have some records, and
yeah.
they might have some records,
okay.
and then maybe you'd tape your friend's record on a cassette tape, so it's like, oh, now I got that one.
Yeah.
That wasn't as expensive as buying it. And yeah, that's how you had to do it. And it was a lot more about, you know, and so people who are really into music had to also be connected to other people who are really into music to be able to get access to get access to opportunities to hear the stuff, hear music, but also to learn about new music that they might be interested in. So people would really end up with communities of people very much built around styles of music that they shared in common that they loved.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting because if I wanted to find something that I wanted to do, like especially listening to music as such an easy thing mm-hmm. nowadays, back then I had to like intentionally make friends and to be able to get access,
yeah.
even though I'm introverted or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I still have to do
yeah.
that. Yeah, that's very interesting. Like, I guess that's why like the record club here is still very popular here
mm-hmm.
because I However, after you talk about all these very, very interesting stories, I feel like back then people had to sort of have no other better options to be able to have the access into those kind of music and by joining the clubs. But now people came here just purely driven by their passion, right? You chose, because you have like a rich experience into, because you obviously knows everything about it, but you chose to stay in the campus station. Can you talk about why you chose that and what is the benefits and the positive side that makes you feel like you do prefer this over a commercialized station or other format?
Well, I think, you know, like I said, even when I first got involved with radio, I really enjoyed and loved the people who formed this community we have here at the radio station. You know, I still have a whole load of friends who are still part of my circle of friends from those first days at that first station where, you know, we joined and then, you know, we all did radio shows. We went to music shows when bands came through town. You know, it became a real, you know, place where you met friends and peers who are interested in things you're interested in. But it's also, so that was a big part of it. Just, you know, I really like the community of people we have here. And then I think one of the things that's interesting about our organization is, you know, we're based at a university. So, you know, there's a lot of young people involved, students and stuff. But, you know, about half our membership is community members. So we have a lot of other people from all different ages and backgrounds involved in the station. And that creates a really interesting environment, too, where you have people, you know, just like you have the Free Voices group who are on the air just before you here. You know, they're older and very different than you, but there's something, some common ground we all share that makes it really interesting. And it's always interesting to see people from all these different backgrounds come to the station and then have these great conversations about whatever. And, you know, so it brings together really interesting people. So that's a big part of it. I've enjoyed the process of doing radio. So that's been a reason I've stayed involved. And then community radio's a little different, you know, because there's sort of three sectors of radio here in Canada anyway. You know, there's our sector, the campus community nonprofit stations like this one that provide an opportunity for people to get involved, and we're really working with volunteers and stuff. There's the commercial radio sector, you know, professional radio, and then the CBC. Commercial radio is really different, and it operates in quite a different model, whereas we're kind of a bottom-up kind of organization in that each person can do their own show and then create their own show the way they want it to be. So this show we're on here, your show, is your creation, and it, you shape it the way you want it to be as opposed to it being determined by the upper management. We tell you what your show is, and then you're here just as a performer to fill the space, right? So
You're talking about the differences between the commercialized radio. And
so, like, moving into commercial radio is really different because then you're really fitting into being an announcer on, you know, a radio show. All the music that's provided on, that's played on that show is determined by, you know, some radio programming management, not even at your station, at corporate headquarters. And so you're not really creating your own show in the same way. And as a career, I don't know if it's right like now, but if you were working in commercial radio, you would very likely be, not necessarily by choice, but it's just the way the industry worked, bouncing around from station to station to station, because you know, you might work at a station for a few years, and then they want to change things up, so they get rid of some of the DJs and they bring some other folks in, and now you're, you know, now you're working in Victoria, then you're working in Vancouver, now you got to move up to Kelowna to work at a station there. You know, you'd have to, you know, if you really want to do that, you'd have to be prepared for that kind of life where you're kind of bouncing around from opportunity. You know, a few people get to settle in there, like, oh, I'm the established morning host and I do this forever, but that's pretty rare. So that's sort of different. And then, you know, then there's the CBC, which is the sort of national broadcaster. They're a little more like us, and they definitely have, I think, good careers and good opportunities, but it's still a little more, it's a little different. It's not as independent and self-directed as we are. I've just found, you know, I've just found that this is the environment that I really enjoy. So that's why I've sort of stayed in this sector. And we've been able to sort of slowly grow the station and, you know, keep on sort of moving forward from strength to strength. And it's good, you know, so.
Yeah, I feel like what you shared, it was out of my knowledge band. It was really great, though, because I'm very curious about learning new things. And normally I wouldn't be like, I go on a Google or AI and say, tell me about this, right? So that's what, like, the spontaneous conversation really comes to the place. But that, to conclude, though, what I learned from what you said is very interesting is that the commercialized radio station, and as they named as commercialized, right? So they're more of like top down. And then for the community based radio station like us or the CITR, like other campus radio or even other like nonprofit out there, they're more like from bottom to I'm not so sure, like top or whatever, but then you create your own thing instead of like you're assigned as a job position to do 1, 2, 3, right? And the another one is CBC or something like CBC. They're national. I guess, like, as you said, they have also something like maybe in the middle. They're not like really I have to be profit driven, but then they also carry a huge responsibility of you have to hold this kind of point of view, perspective. You have to represent us as a national station, right? So okay, from my though like experience, I realized that the thing is here, we have a lot of volunteers, right? And then we have just people come here and just have fun, though they're not getting paid. But somehow I realize there's so many activities. Not just activities, though, even the whole station. There are always people who wanted to do this and who wanted to do that for the station. Even I started to grow after half a year. I started to grow more passion towards maybe I can do this for the station, or what can I, if I have more budget, maybe I can just contribute this, or even for the activity, I'm more willing to get involved in joining. And I baked the cook my first cake actually. I baked my first cake last time for the spring barbecue. It was really fun. It was like so much more fun than I could expect it for some reason. So I think this is what keep people together instead of like you paying them a lot. I hope that we can get people being paid more when this era is changing, right? I do see the future is getting better, because I think the future is really encouraging us as individuals or communities to do things that we loved, we're passionate about, instead of the last this era where we have to be like really profit driven, we have to fit that mold. So this is how I feel, and that's why I loved it. I also feel like that's probably, like you said, half of the members here or the host here, they are not students. They are covering all different kind of age groups. And especially I have to mention that this location is up on the mountain. So people drive all the way or come all the way here. That has to be with a huge enthusiasm, right?
So part of the bargain we sort of make with programmers and our volunteers is that you get to do a radio show or other activities at the station. But when you're doing a radio show, you get to create your own show. You get to choose the music that you love yourself. You get it sort of becomes a form of self-expression.
Mm.
And so that, and making it that way creates it something that's really fun and, you know, something as a host you can take ownership over. It's, this is my thing, I'm doing it, I'm sharing it with the audience. And what we hope is when people do that, mm-hmm. when they're sharing their interest and passion about stuff they're interested, whether it's music or topics, things they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
that's going to resonate with the audience.
Mm.
But, you know, that opportunity for the individual to create their own thing, make their show their own, is part of the bargain to make it fun and enjoyable. If we were always, you know, interfering in people's show and always telling them what they needed to do and saying you can play this music and you can't say play that music, I think, you know, people would, they wouldn't enjoy doing a show as much as they do, because it'd be feel less theirs, and you know, they're always being told what to do. And you know, we might, through that, trying to exercise that control, try be able to maybe build, you know, one of the, I mean, I think what's great about community radio is the diversity of the shows that we have. But it's also a weakness in the sense that the programming is always changing. You can't just sort of tune in at any time and expect to find something that you necessarily like, or that it's always going to be the same thing. So that can be sometimes limiting.
Mm.
So, you know, if we tried to control all the programming more, and interfere in people's shows as a way to deliver something like that to, you know, we might be able to grow our audience a bit more, but we would probably have struggled to find people who want to do shows. And part of our mandate, you know, as our license that we get from the government comes with some expectations on us.
Mm.
You know, it's not just, well, now you get the radio, a radio license, you can do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
We are sort of, have a sort of mandate to provide the kind of programming that commercial radio doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so having a lot of hosts creating their own shows allows us to do that. So that's sort of the bargain we make. People can do their own show. You can use it as a vehicle for your own expression. That's what makes it fun to do.
Right.
And satisfying, as opposed to just, you know, the excitement of just being on the radio would wear off pretty quickly. Whereas people's, you know, I'm creating this thing that I enjoy, is something that lasts a bit longer, makes it worthwhile for people.
Mm.
On top of that, what we try and do, you know, is create a sense of community here at the station.